This is the Patriots All 22 podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio video coverage for the five-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Welcome into a new edition of the Patriots All 22 podcast, powered by the CLNS Podcast Network. I am Evan Lazar, joined as always by Adam Kirchen, and we have a jam-packed show today. We're going to move over to the defensive side of the ball, talk about this incredibly deep defensive line and edge class that Adam and I could probably talk about for hours with how many names are in this group. But we do want to mention off the top, obviously, Rob Gronkowski retiring from the Patriots, retiring from the NFL. We did the tight end show a few weeks ago, even before Gronk retired, knowing that it was going to be a pretty big area need or a pretty big area of potential draft capital invested for the Patriots this year. So go back and listen to that. Then that's where we talk about the Iowa guys and Irv Smith and Jay Sternberger and all those guys. But quickly here, Adam, off the top, just give me a Gronk thought, a story, just a looking parting ways here at the end of his career.
I guess one story that doesn't really have as much to do with his football playing is I over the years covered a bunch of his like clinics with kids, like in Melrose.
Really like something that I feel like, not to cut you off, that is not being talked about enough about his impact here in Boston is what he did in the community. He was one of a kind like that.
Yeah, he really loved it. You know, some guys do it and they sort of go through the motions. He really loved it. It was genuine. And I think that rubbed off. And I think that's a big part of his impact here. And as a player, obviously, I mean, the best tight end I've ever seen in person. You know, I mean, I'm 43. I've never seen a tight end, or I'm going to be 43, but I've never seen a tight end quite like him in terms of such an impact as a receiver and as a blocker. He's the total package, especially when he was fully healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking to that off the field stuff, I remember last year there was a point in the locker room where one of the Pats media guys came over to Gronk and asked him to film like a short little like 30-second video to a fan, and the fan was getting teased at school about, I think it was wearing nail polish. It was a little boy or something like that that he decided he wanted to do, and he got teased about it in school. And Gronk just said, "Keep being you. You know, don't let that other people kind of get you down." And the fan obviously was, you know, it was all over Twitter for a little while there. But like, I think that was such a great statement for Gronk because he was himself the entire way.
Yeah, you know,
he was like truly more so than any other kind of player or that the Patriots have really ever had. He and the Patriots made it work where Gronk could be Gronk, but it was also going to win the championships and do the work that they wanted him to do on the field and off the field. So I think it was pretty, it's a pretty incredible marriage. You know, it's not a guy like a Tom Brady who kind of kept his head down and is a, you know, quiet leader and worker. I wouldn't call him a quiet leader, but certainly a guy that wasn't as boisterous as Gronk in the press and stuff like that. But it was still the do your job mentality and was still very much something that Gronk embodied at the same time. So that, I think that that's pretty cool. And like you said, I mean, they're not going to replace him with that one player. It's not, there's no Gronk in this draft or any draft,
in my
opinion. It's going to take a lot. But at the same time, he was, you know, a second round pick because of the injury history that he already had in college, for sure. He would have been a first round pick if it wasn't for that. And he still, I think he went, what, like 44th overall or something in the early 40s. So well, he was still a top 50 player in that draft by every stretch. But I do think that, you know, there are some good options and you can go back and listen to our show there. And I've certainly written a ton about it. And, you know, you have as well about all these tight ends. So that's the Gronk minute right there. And then we're going to get into defensive line. Like I said, we're going to break it up in this show between defensive line guys that are going to probably play more on the interior in the trenches, and also edge guys. And we're going to start with the interior guys, or mostly interior guys here, some DNs as well. And start right at the top. I released my first round rankings today. This guy is a top 10 prospect in the draft in my eyes based on the film, but he tore his ACL in February. That's certainly going to lower his stock a lot, and that is Jeffrey Simmons, who is just an absolute monster.
Right, and he also had the incident where he hit a woman, but the one thing that makes me feel that makes me feel a little bit better than that about that is that while he was at Mississippi State, he won all types of character awards and leadership. He seemed like that sort of thing. He's turned around, I guess. So, yeah. But as a player, he is so good, man. He doesn't have a lot of fat on him. He's like one of these really well-built guys. He's just got these long arms. He can really rush the passer. He can hold up well against the run. He's just so powerful and quick. And, you watch his film and he's just so much better than whoever he's going up against. He's constantly pushing his guys backwards. I like it, for the most part, his technique. He's just a powerful guy, and I think he could be a dominant player immediately once he gets healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole legal situation back in 2016, where he actually was standing up for his sister, I believe it was, who was in a fight with another woman, and he kind of got physical in the altercation, and obviously not a great look by any stretch of the imagination, but does sound like he's kind of put it behind him and moved on a little bit. And he anchored Mississippi State, was one of the best defenses in the country last year. Yeah. And he was really the anchor of that entire defense. And one thing that you just noticed right away about his usage was they played him a lot over the center at nose guard, essentially, at whatever. He's not a big guy. This is not Vince Wilfork, right? He's much more leaner, and my point is he's gonna move to more like probably like a 3-10 technique role at the NFL, and that is going to be much better for his skill set. It was kind of best for Mississippi State to play him over the center, but it wasn't best for Jeffrey Simmons, which is something that is kind of a common theme with a lot of these guys. So movement, skill-wise, power-wise, he is like the ideal interior defensive lineman. He's big, he's fast, he's strong, and he's well-built, and he's got every single piece of that puzzle that you would want to see. And I think that his production was good in terms of stats, tackles for loss and sacks, but it would have been even better if he had played in a role that was a little bit better for his skill set. So he's a top 10 player on my board. Really on the film, the only things that I saw that were like obviously things that he needs to fix are just the fact that maybe he loses the ball a little bit and kind of is more worried about penetrating than he is about finding the football sometimes, but that's all fixable. And I don't know how much he's not a two gapper. I think he's more of like a shoot the gap type guy. I think he can probably do both things pretty well, just because he's such a freak. But there's a little bit of like, does he have two gap ability, does he not? But I think it's an interesting conversation, just to kind of put this back into Patriots world. If he's there at 32, I mean, the talent is, he's a top 10 talent. And he could fall to 32 because of the ACL. And, what do you do then? If you're the Patriots, I feel like it is a conversation that you have to have, because you just don't get a lot of opportunities to pick guys with this kind of talent too often, where they often are picking in the draft at the end of the first round.
Yeah, I agree. I think you have to really consider it. And I think even though he might not be a pure two gapper in the NFL, I think he can do it.
Yeah.
And I also think he's one of these guys you can move around really anywhere. I think he could beat tackles on the edge too, not as an every down, usage in that respect. But if you want to mix things up, I think he's long and athletic enough to beat guys that way too. I just love him as a player. So I think it's a conversation that they'd have to have. And I think it's a conversation they're probably already having, given given how things are looking right now. There's a ton of mock drafts out there right now that have Simmons going to the Pats.
Yeah, so basically from and just piecing things together over the years about the Patriots draft process, towards the last couple of weeks here in April, maybe a week or two before the draft, they actually start running mock draft simulators in the war room there with all the scouts and with Casario, with Belichick, to kind of simulate how things might go a little bit here. So just the same as you or I might do, on like a fan speaker, a draft network mock draft. So they do those things. So I'm sure that they are coming up with that scenario, right, where they're picking at 32 and it's a lot of the scenarios that people are floating out. What do you do if you're picking at 32 and Simmons, Tillery, and one of the Iowa tight ends is all sitting there? Who do you pick? That's kind of like the tough thing that you got to kind of sort through. Simmons has gotten some Ndamukong Suh comparisons, which I kind of like. I think he's a similar player to that. And Sue, the Rams last year, used him a little bit at defensive end as well, and some stand-up defensive end actually in the Super Bowl a little bit too, which was crazy. They're kind of like that. All right, let's move on to the two Clemson guys now who are in this conversation. We have three Clemson guys in the show today, obviously. But the two to start with, let's start with Christian Wilkins, who has, his build is not exactly Patriots-esque, I would say. Right. He's got a little short arms. He's not quite dinosaur arms, but he doesn't have the longest of arms. He doesn't have an ideal build for them. But at the same time, from an intangibles perspective, team captain, leader on and off the field for the Clemson, really an alpha dog in an alpha dog environment.
Yeah, and played his best game.
Yes.
In his last game, which is another thing that we know that the Patriots look for, playing well in big games. He was a beast against Alabama, and that's a pretty good offensive line.
Yeah.
He's got scheme versatility. I love how he uses his hands. He's a little bit smaller in some respects from a measurable standpoint. But with all the different things you can do with him and how well he gets into the backfield, almost whenever he wants, depending on what's being asked of him, I just love him. And I think he really pursues the ball well from the backside, which is not something you always see from a good, defensive lineman. He doesn't get tired. He's as good in the fourth quarter as he is in the first. You really can't say enough good things about Christian Wilkins.
Yeah, this guy is another one of those guys that I think I have in my top 15 that, if he's available there at 32, you're like running up to draft this guy, right? He is one of the more fundamentally sound players that we're going to talk about today in terms of just pad level, playing with good leverage, using his hands. All of those things are just off the charts already NFL caliber. I mean, he could have came out last year. A lot of these Clemson guys came out last year, and he would have been a first-round pick. So this guy is an absolute stud. I love his versatility, like you said. I think he can play pretty much anywhere on the defensive line and probably succeed. I think he's probably best used inside, obviously, rushing on guards and centers. But, I mean, I think if you wanted to put him at five technique over a tackle, I think he'd be fine out there as well. He also has this like great flexibility and like slithering thing where he can really like contort his body into gaps and just kind of move around guys in kind of like a slithering snake fashion, which is really cool. He did that to Alabama a ton, and they just like couldn't block him. They just like couldn't get their hands on him. So I think that all that is really great with him. And his get off is pretty good too. But when I watch him play, what I really like is that he just has no wasted movement. Everything is like four purpose. There's no false stepping. There's nothing with his upper body that isn't, he's never in a bad position, and he doesn't ever really get himself off balance too much because of that. So I think that's really, he's always the lowest man. He's always in the right place. He's just a really good player. I would be shocked if he falls to them, but if he does, like I said, you run up the card or whatever it is that they do nowadays. I think that they've moved past the old fashioned cards. All right. Next here, obviously another Clemson guy who I think now we're starting to get into the conversation of guys that you know, really could be on the board at 32 and could be really good possibilities that they are Patriots. And Dexter Lawrence from Clemson as well is a Patriots type of D tackle. This guy, yeah, is everything that they've always kind of embodied in that position.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's, I'm curious why people feel like he can fall so far, because I think he's just such a dominant interior player.
Yeah.
I know some people will say, you know, like, oh, he might not be a three down player. I don't know. Like, at Clemson, he played a lot, a lot of snaps. And he's just overpowering. He's just so physical. He will get double teamed and push the double team back.
Yeah.
He does that more on his film than almost anybody in this class that I've seen. And that's something that you can't really put enough value on. I mean, that's so important in any defense, really. If you have a guy like that occupying two blocks, it does such great things for your linebackers. And he's also somebody who can penetrate. He can get in the backfield. You know, if you're blocking him with one guy, I mean, just forget about it. I love his body makeup. There's been some Vince Wilfork comparisons. I think those are good ones.
Yeah.
And you know, you pair him up to like a Lawrence guy or something. That's tremendous. Or, you know, even Pennell or whatever. That'd be such a great young rotation of interior guys on the Patriots if you had him.
Yeah, he ran that 40 at the combine. Unfortunately, he tweaked a hamstring or something like that doing it, but not a whole lot of times is a guy that big run 40 yards, you know. So that's, you know, part of the reason why, you know, that type of stuff is never but when you run that fast at that size, you know that you're cooking with something special. You know, this guy is just an immense amount of power behind his pads. Like, you can never really undersell how strong he is at the point of attack. He is your prototypical nose tackle, though, right? You know, he's gonna line up over the center, maybe shade to a little bit towards the guard in like a one technique or something like that, and he is going to push the pocket, and he's gonna be an absolute force against the run. Those are like the two things that he's going to do. And I think that, the like you said, kind of, you know, about the three down player thing, you know, there's been too many Danny Sheltons, Vita Veas, those types of guys lately that haven't lived up to the first round draft, you know, selection, because they're really just run stuffers. And I think Lawrence is better than those guys in college. And he also has that one season that was his freshman season where he had some sacks, where he had a better sack total. But I do think that, you know, there is some truth to that of, is that kind of player in today's NFL worth a first round pick? I personally think that it is, but I think that there are teams out there that don't structure. I think it is for the Patriots, right? Because they use that spot in such a, they use it a ton more than other teams. And really their whole defensive game plan and run defensive scheme is designed to kind of funnel people towards the middle and use the big defensive tackles to kind of push the pocket and take on extra blockers. But other teams, you know, are going to penetrate. Those are the types of teams that, you know, they're just the differencing styles. So I think that those types of teams are going to look at Dexter Lawrence and say, you know, he's really not a first day one guy for us. But I think the Patriots are going to look at Dexter Lawrence and say, this is exactly what we look for at this position. You know, this is literally, we could make a guy in a lab and say, like, what's the perfect nose tackle for the New England Patriots? It's Dexter Lawrence. Now, how much, you know, it's worth bringing up the suspension, you know? I don't know how much, like, stock I put into it, like a guy testing positive for some weird substance that nobody really knows what it was, including him.
Yeah.
But when you let your team down like that in the college football playoff, and you get suspended for the two biggest games of the year, it is kind of like a tiny Patriots red flag, I would say.
Yeah, I would say so too. Wouldn't put too much stock into it though, if, you know, all their other favorite guys are off the board and he's still sitting there at 32. I still think you pick him.
Yeah. The only like that and maybe like a little bit, he needs to develop a little bit as a pass rusher in order to really, play on passing downs in a, consistent basis. Obviously did it at Clemson because he was a man amongst boys at Clemson, you know, like the guys that he went up against, he was just, I mean, he's like, when they played Texas A&M, he went up against Eric McCoy a lot, who's a potential first round pick at center. And he's just like shoving him back into the backfield and like blowing up plays against the guy. So he's really a freak in the run defense. And, I wouldn't mind it. I think a lot of people would be a little bit disappointed if they picked another like big, run stuffing nose tackle at 32 instead of a guy that's going to come in and rush the passer a little bit. But it's still, I mean, he's a safe pick. He's a safe pick. All right, this next guy here is another Patriot target, I would say. I mocked him in my first mock draft to the Pats in round one, and that is Jerry Tillery from Notre Dame, who I absolutely love as a prospect.
Yeah, another guy that really uses his long arms well.
Yeah.
Some guys that we're going to talk about don't necessarily do that as well. Jerry, as a high school prospect coming into college, was looked at as somebody who could play offensive tackle. And I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But he's got the build of an offensive tackle kind of. That long, tall build, but I mean, you watch his tape, he's always getting into the backfield. He's always ripping through guys. It is so hard to maintain your block against Jerry Tillery. And he's somebody I think that's progressed nicely over the course of his career at Notre Dame. His technique got way better over time. And he's somebody who's powerful. He's somebody who can rush the passer. Some of his tape is very, dominant, actually. And I don't expect him to be there at 32. But I think there's enough guys that are so good at that position that he really could drop that far. I think he'll be in the area at least.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he's there, I mean, a lot of these guys are no-brainer picks if they're there. Depending on other positions. But, I mean, Tillery's really good. He could step in and play right away.
Yeah, he is one of those guys that his hands are always in the right place and his leverage and his pad level is always perfect. He's so fundamentally sound, along with the fact that he's long and athletic, that it's just I find that a team ahead of the Patriots is going to watch this guy's tape against Stanford and just fall in love with him. I mean, the Stanford game was one of the most dominant games of any prospect I've watched this entire process. I mean, I think he had finished with four sacks in that game and was just living in the backfield. There are some like people that think that he was kind of hot and cold a little bit last season. I didn't see that. All the games that I watched, he was disruptive and in the backfield, and kind of the advanced analytics that PFF keeps track of back that up as well. He was one of the leaders in the country and pressures and all that kind of stuff. He is exactly what the Patriots look for in kind of like a 3-4 defensive end and then like a sub rush interior rusher, like a guy that they can play a little bit more towards the outside and then move him inside on the guards and centers on passing downs and have him rush the passer and use his quickness on the inside. That's, I think, exactly the type of role that he kind of projects. I wouldn't say that he's like Trey Flowers. I think they're different players, but I think his role could be similar to something that Trey Flowers put together for the Pats, where he plays a little bit on the edge, but he's mostly an interior rusher when they need it. And that's kind of, why I think Tillery is a really nice pick for them, because he's going to step right in and kind of be that Trey Flowers replacement along with Michael Bennett early on in his career. So I think that that's something that they really – I think that this is one of the more likely guys, I guess is what I'm trying to say, out of all the guys that we're going to talk about today, that as a guy that's going to be there and be able to, be somebody that they're going to really like, because from a size measurable standpoint, he checks every single box of theirs. He's long, athletic, quick, all that type of stuff, and he plays with great technique. So I could really see him being a Patriot and being a good option. All right, speaking of guys that could use a little bit better technique, I know you like Charles Omenihu. I think that's how you say it, from Texas. really great production last year from 2018, kind of put himself in that on the map for the draft this year with a huge season last year for the Longhorns.
Yeah, and again, we were texting about him and like Cleland Farrell, and it's like they got similar builds, but like Cleland uses his technique so much better. So I kind of feel like what I was saying is like Amenahu, once he really gets his technique down, could be a monster. You just don't see it yet.
Yeah.
And the one thing about that that I worry about is he was a senior, correct, this year? I mean,
I think so. Yeah.
So you wonder, like, is he not taking to the coaching? Is he not getting the coaching? Because, you know, I love his body, I love his production, but I don't love, you know, his lack of, you know, really violent hand usage sometimes, and his ability to sort of have secondary and third and fourth level moves to get by the type of tackles he's going to face, or guards or wherever, and offensive linemen in general in the NFL. Like, I do think he's got great physical ability, and if you can give him these tools, he could be an exceptional player. I think he's got, like, you know, Pro Bowl, all pro potential if he puts it together, because I just love his body, and he just really plays hard, and he's got good production, but he's just not, he's still sort of an uncut diamond in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I talked to him a little bit at the combine, because just watching guys before the combine, he was the guy that stood out to me as, you know, checks all the Patriots boxes from a measurables athletic standpoint. And sometimes they like to take, you know, maybe not in the first round, but in the second round, third round range, these types of guys that they can really mold, right? You know, like a piece of clay, and Bill Belichick will just get his hands on him and he'll mold him. And I think that Amenahu really fits in that kind of category. And one thing that he said to me was that before last season, he really could just win with his athleticism. You know, like his athleticism and his sheer size and power were so good that he didn't really need to focus on technique. Like, he didn't really need to do that, as long as he just got off the ball quickly and used his quickness and on the inside and stuff like that. He was being disruptive. And then, you know, really he looked at it and kind of started last year thinking about the NFL and, you know, playing beyond college and realizing that, okay, if I'm going to work in the NFL, if I'm going to survive in the NFL, I'm going to have to get better with my technique. So he kind of focused a little bit more on improving his technique last year. So I think a lot of these college guys, it's about taking it upon themselves to want to get better in that regard, right? And whether it's the coaching or whatnot, because the coaching at Texas, I mean, they look at Charles and they're like, I mean, like, he's awesome for us. So like, you know, whatever, you know, who cares, like, if he can't use his hands properly or his pad level gets a little bit high, or, you know, he doesn't really know how to leverage blocks or whatever, because he's, you know, winning for us. So that's really all that we care about. And it really takes the player to then take it that next step and realize, all right, if I want to make a living doing this, you know, in a couple of years, I'm going to have to step it up. The one thing that I really do like about him, though, is that he's very versatile player, a little bit like Tillery. We can play him at DN, you can play him at D tackle. I think at the end, he's really more of a pocket pusher than he is like a real, you know, screamer off the edge or anything like that.
Right.
But he can definitely do that. And that will fit the Patriots pretty well. Really what it boils down to from a pass rush standpoint, because from a run game standpoint, as long as he keeps his pads low, I think that he's really a very strong guy and can really press blockers with his length and be able to really be a good and effective run defender. But he just doesn't have a plan as a pass rusher, right? He like gets into it and he doesn't know what to do. He's like, all right, I'll just push it, you know, like, and that is, you know, something that I think that, you know, you gotta really, you don't have to have 15 pass rush moves. I mean, not that there are that many, but you don't have to have every pass rush move in your arsenal to be effective. You just have to have a go-to move and a counter, right? And like, that's really it. Like Aaron Donald, for example, I mean, obviously he's Aaron freaking Donald, but he has his arm over is his move. Like, he's going to use that move, and that's just like what it is. And when they counter him on it, he's got to counter for it. And I just think that that's really what it is. And, you know, I think that Charles needs to develop, other than a bull rush, because we know he's got power, we know he's got length, what is that kind of, you know, move for him that's going to be able to help him win? I think it's probably like a snatch type move where he grabs the offensive lineman and tosses him out of the way. Trey Flowers really liked to use that one. So I think that some sort of snatch or grab move is probably where he could really succeed, and then you can have some swipes and counters and stuff like that to that move when the offensive line sets aggressively to kind of get at you early to avoid getting snatched. But I think that once he develops that pass rush move, kind of like a plan, then he can be really good. And I think the Patriots or any NFL team that has a good history with defensive linemen will be able to get him there. So I think that he's an exciting pick. I think that he's more of a guy that I would probably entertain in the second round. Maybe at the end of the second round, even though I don't think he'll be there, but it may be at 56 or something like that. I don't know if he's a first round pick yet. I wouldn't be shocked though if he goes in like the top 40 or 50 picks, because he's so freakishly long and athletic and just big that like some team is going to just be like, all right, we're just going to take this guy and we're going to make him into an all-pro. And that's kind of the mentality in the NFL. All right, last one here on the interior, guys, is a guy that I was pretty surprised. The Patriots, I mean, obviously you kind of take some of these combine meetings and stuff like that with a grain of salt, but the Patriots have shown a lot of interest in Draymond Jones from Ohio State, who I don't really know if he like necessarily fits exactly what they want to do, but he would definitely bring some pass rush and skill pass rusher ability to the interior of the defensive line if that's the way that they want to go with it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think you watch him, and he looks quick. Like I think
his first step quickness is really good.
Yeah, like he beats guys with his quickness a lot of times. He's got a pretty good set, an array of pass rushing, moves and techniques that are pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really hold well up at the point of attack if he's getting like double teamed and stuff like that. And that's the difference between him and Omenihu. They're sort of opposites, because I feel like Omenihu, when he gets double teamed, he actually holds up pretty well for a guy who doesn't look like he should. He doesn't have that build in the lower body of a guy that you'd think that would hold up against a double team kind of. But I think Jones doesn't really give you that. But I still think he's a guy that would give you something. I mean, I think he's got the athleticism to play on the edge a little bit, and he's just a quick athletic guy. The other thing I like about him too is he seems like he's pretty smart and knows where the ball's going, and I also kind of like his ability to chase plays down from behind. There's certain guys in this group who are really, really good at that, and He seems to be just like a very high motor type guy, and he's just got like a really good sense of how to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, that entire Ohio State defense kind of underperformed last year, given their talent. Obviously, they're always stacked on both sides of the ball there, and that defense really kind of underperformed. But I thought that Draymond Jones had a decent season for them, and his first step quickness or burst or get off, whatever you want to call it, is where he wins. I mean, he's into the backfield, instantly, and he can really jolt guys and shoot gaps and do all that kind of stuff. That's great. I think that his pursuit speed, like you said, is also really great. He will run down things from behind. He'll run down things, laterally or horizontally across the line of scrimmage, coming down the line of scrimmage. That's really great. And then he also has a series of like head fakes and jab steps and a lot of different kind of body movement that he'll use on the inside, which is kind of rare for an inside guy. Usually inside guys are like, all right, let's get right into it. Engage. And he kind of has a little bit more finesse to his game than that, which is really nice too. Like you said, though, he gets pushed around. I mean, there's just no other way of kind of putting it. He can be pushed around. And I think the biggest thing is, one, he's a little bit undersized for his position playing on the interior. So I think that kind of plays a role in it. But he's got to get his pads down. He's got to play with better pad level and better leverage. Otherwise, he's going to get pushed around a lot. So yeah. I think that I was surprised that they have been kind of showing interest in him. And I've seen like a couple of mocks that have him and Gerald Willis from Miami as kind of potential Patriots targets because of that interest in both of those guys. And both of them seem to me like better suited for other schemes than what New England does. But you know, you never know. Maybe they want to get a guy in here that has a little bit of pass rush prowess. Maybe they think that Draymond Jones is a guy that can play more defensive end in their scheme than, like, on the interior, and maybe just run in the interior and sub packages, and maybe that will help him a little bit with the kind of power at the point of attack issues that he's had. But, you know, he's one of those guys that when you watch him at Ohio State, he flashes, right? You know, like, you're like, oh, who's that guy? And you just see, if you watch – sometimes I like to watch tape without, like, kind of the circle highlighting the player every play, just to, like, see, like, who is it that is, like, kind of like, oh, who is that guy? And then, you know, you kind of figure it out. And he was one of those guys that you're like, oh, okay, like, this guy is, he's, you can see him, you know, you can tell that he's being disruptive. You can tell he's good into the backfield, which I like about him. But I think that you agree, Tillery and Charles Omenihu, I think, are better prospects and guys that fit the Patriots a little bit better in that role than maybe a Draymond Jones does.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the edge guys now. Some of these guys, we're starting with Quaylen Farrell here from Clemson. He's, you know, I think a little, you can go back and forth with him where he's going to play in the NFL. I think he's an edge guy. But anyways, I think I'm a lot higher on him than other people, and it's mainly because of his junior tape, right? Like, I went back and I watched the year 2017, and he was good again in 2018, but he was really good in 2017. After 2017, he was, like, kind of a consensus, you know, top 15 pick, and everybody was like, all right, this guy is awesome. This guy's the next guy. He came back to Clemson, like, the rest of the defensive line to win a championship. He did that, but maybe there was some, you know, where, like you said, we're in nitpicking season, and maybe there was some little things that kind of started to show up on his tape a little bit that gave some people some pause, like some hip stiffness, and kind of just overall, like, robotic movements at times that weren't exactly what people want to see from, like, a pure edge guy.
Yeah. The thing is he flashes sometimes. Like, he's a really good player, and I love his athleticism stuff, and he does a good job of keeping, you know, those long arms away, you know, and playing behind them and sort of creating space with his arms.
Yep.
And I actually think, you know, some people don't think this, but I think he's a pretty, like guy, a pretty good guy to drop back into coverage. He has these pretty neat, like, zone drops.
Yeah.
That they used him with Clemson. He seems like a pretty mobile guy. But there were times where I felt like he had too much trouble getting off blocks in some of the film, you know, but still, even in that Notre Dame tape, which I wasn't crazy about, he still made a couple of, like, really nice plays. He forced the fumble, and he had, like, one other, like, really good pressure that would have been a sack in most other games. But there's other tape where he's simply dominant too, like that A&M tape was really good for him. And the other thing too is that I like about him is he's another one of these guys that doesn't give up on the play if it's away from him.
Yep.
He's somebody that really is really maybe the best out of these guys who, you know, the play goes away from him and he doesn't start jogging, he speeds up, you know, and you can see him either making that play from behind or just being around the ball close enough where you're like, wow, this guy really gives a, you know, 100% effort. And, you know, that's just, you know, you'll take that kind of guy every time.
Yeah, I really like Quaylen Farrell. I personally think that, you know, the couple of things that I really like about him, other than just, like, kind of his prototypical frame and long arms, and, like, he has, like, all of the things that you want, he checks all the boxes, you know, physically, is his hands and his hand technique. I mean, he's just a powerful dude with his hands. Like, he really knows how to use them. He really kind of hits you really hard with that punch and can get his hands inside and really control blocks that way, especially in the run game where he's, like, a great edge setter and point of attack type guy. guy. So I think that that's a good, with, you know, good thing about him. The other thing is he's really smart as a pass rusher too, and he kind of can sense like with the way that the offensive line is sliding or how a tackle is setting, and then react to it, right? And like kind of knows like where to go from there. So like if a tackle is, you know, hard setting him or he's, you know, sitting back or whatever the case may be, he can kind of change his plan on the go to whatever it is that tackle is doing and use a move that is going to work for that kind of set, which is really cool as well. And he has like a little bit more quickness, I think, that people give him credit for. I know like some of the hip stiffness and stuff like that has been a concern for him. He kind of is like a guy that doesn't necessarily slither or use like elite kind of quickness, but he has like some nice swim moves and stuff like that on his tape where he kind of shows that a little bit of quickness there. So I think that he's got the potential to be like a Pro Bowl type talent. I think that there's some concerns I would say with his like average athletic testing and, you know, kind of just his bursts and his get off is not really his game, right? Like you gotta like really like guys that are going to just kind of you know, use technique and power and stuff like that to do good instead of a guy that's just gonna kind of fire off the ball. That's not really who he is. But really, I really like the guy. I think that if he's there at another one, if he's there at 32, like you do it, you know, and you don't think twice about it. I think he'd fit in really well with the Patriots and kind of plays the game exactly how they want their defensive ends to play. So, and also a lot of these Clemson guys, too, we've kind of hinted at it a little bit. But the Patriots drafted those guys from Georgia partially because they played in such big games and played well in those big games at Georgia. And a lot of these Clemson guys, I think you can say the same about from this past year, where, you know, they come from these big time programs that are playing in these big time games and they perform well in them. So that's a big thing. I mean, listen, when they drafted Sony Michel last year, one of the first things they said was that his college football playoff tape was just so good that it really turned their attention to him. And I think that that's kind of fits the mold of a lot of these guys too. Okay. Next one here. I don't know what it is about Anthony Nelson that people don't like.
Right.
But there is a lot of people that have Anthony Nelson outside of their top 100, which I just think it's is crazy. He is a beast. He's ridiculously tall. He's 6'7". He, for just comparison's sake, from like a measurable standpoint, he is very comparable from a size, weight, height standpoint to Chandler Jones. He has this very similar kind of build, not different players, but similar builds. That is the starting point with him. Whenever you have a guy that can move like he does at that size, like how is this guy not being talked about as a higher prospect? I don't really get it.
And also did really well at the combine too.
Yeah, he ran one of the best three cone times out of any of these defensive linemen, edge or interior D line. And you know the Patriots love the three cone, and this guy was one of the best at it. I think he ran like a 6'7", 6'8" or something
Which
that.
Is ridiculous. Which is ridiculous at his size. I love him. You know, you talk about watching certain games. His Penn State film. I mean, I don't know how you can watch the Penn State film and say he's not, you know, a guy you'd love to have on your team. He's he was dominant that game.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't be single blocked. That, you know, they'd throw doubles at him. I really love, you know, another thing about this guy is that he can beat you in so many different ways. You know, I think he's mostly a power guy.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, he's got the, you know, the techniques and the hand usage to beat you in almost any sort of capacity. I love his technique. I think he really knows how to get into the backfield. And I think he splits double teams really well. You know, and I think he's somebody that you can kick inside just because of his size on certain downs. So I just think he's a heck of a player. And you know, he's somebody that's, you know, not really showing up really high on any of these mock drafts for whatever reason, but you know, I like him a lot.
Yeah, so he's just reading some of his combine stats here. He's 6'7", 270, so he's a little bit undersized for an interior defensive lineman, but anyways, he ran a 4.82 in the 40, which is in the 74th percentile. He jumped 118 inches in the broad jump and 35 and a half in the vertical, which are both above 85%. He ran a 6.953 cone and a 4.23 short shuttle, which are 92nd percentile for both of those stats. So he's extremely quick for a 6'7" dude. Is extremely quick for any guy, but for a 6'7" guy, he is extremely quick. And his short shuttle and three cone times are quick for guys just in general, you know, just like no matter who it is. So it is really no matter what position you play or size or weight or anything. So that's really impressive. And it shows up on tape too. The short area quickness is something that I wrote down about him before I even got to the combine. So he definitely has that ability to change directions really quickly. He's got a great motor. He's got heavy and effective hands. I think that's where it starts with him as well, is that those hands are bricks. Like, he's going to hit you and you're going to go somewhere, whether it's back or to the side, wherever he wants you to go, he's going to be able to move you there. And he uses that length to really help it out too. And I use our great arm extension and leverage to kind of move guys around in the run game. And then the other thing that I really like about him is that we talked about this with some other guys about how they didn't have a rush plan. And although I think he needs to develop some more counters, he knows what his go-to move is already. It's an arm over, and he knows that that's going to be effective for him because he's so big. So he uses that move already as like kind of his go-to move, and he's able to kind of work off of that, which is a great sign when you have a guy that's already that effective with one move. So I think that, you know, overall, I would say that probably where it kind of stems from is that he's not incredibly bursty to play on the edge. Like, he's not a guy that's going to bend the edge and get around the edge a whole lot. And he is a little bit undersized to play D tackle in terms of weight. So maybe that's where it stems from. But I don't know really why he's not being talked about a little bit higher. Some people that I talked to at the combine about him said that he has a lot of empty reps on his tape. Like, sometimes he's just there and doesn't do much. I don't really see that.
I didn't see that either.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it is about him. There are boards from guys, I don't want to call out anybody, but there are boards from guys that I really trust, that I think are really smart people, that haven't him completely out of their top 100s. So I'm not really sure what it is. Go watch him. For Iowa, obviously last year, this Iowa team had a lot of NFL prospects on it. Yeah, and he's another one of them. So he's a really good player. I think that if the Patriots can kind of get him late, in on day two, or even pick him at the end of the second round, I'm perfectly fine with it. Maybe they like him like we do, and you know, they kind of sneak up on everybody and grab him, which I think is would be a really good move. All right, let's talk about the BC local product here for a little while. Yeah. That is, of course, Zach Allen, who everybody, I think, would like to see play football or remain in the New England area and play some football now for the Patriots after playing for BC.
Yeah, I love him. He's so productive. He's somebody that really gets after it every play for the entire game.
Yep.
I think he's got a real. I don't think you when on a passing down you necessarily know how he's going to attack you.
Yeah, that's the best part of his game, I think.
Yeah, he can come inside. He can rip through you. I mean, he can go around. He's got a nice bend to him. I think he could play inside too with his frame. I think he's just a pretty complete guy. And he's just been overshadowed, last year by Landry a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know, the guy can really play. And I think most years he'd be mocked in the first round, but given how deep this class is, you know, he's getting into the second round in a lot of these places. So but I think he's a first round talent, honestly, just from watching him. I've watched a lot of this guy in person, especially practices, games. You know, he's always giving 110%, and he's just got a great, you know, a great ability to just, you know, sort of fool tackles and not just beat them with technique.
Yeah, he is, I think – out of a lot of these guys in this class, besides maybe like some of the top guys like a Nick Bosa or something like that, he's got more pass rush moves than just about anybody. You know, he really can do whatever he wants whenever he wants, and he kind of has all the technique of it down. We talked to him a lot at the combine. Obviously, a lot of us Patriots writers kind of huddled around him for a while just because of the Boston ties, and also, you know, the Patriots might have some interest in him. And really, I think the two things that stood out are, one, that he just talked about how much he learned from Harold Landry and how much, like, having Harold Landry around last year really helped him kind of up his game, you know, to make an impact, get on the field, and compete with him. And him and Harold Landry, it sounds like, are pretty good friends and are guys that, you know, really kind of pushed each other in a healthy way, which I think is great to fit into the Patriots mold. You know, like, you're going to have some competition if you come to New England. There's going to be some guys that are going to really play, and you're going to have to compete with those guys. And he seemed to really be able to do that. The other thing that I think is great about him and that I talked to him about was his versatility and his ability to really play D-tackle or defensive end and kind of move all around, I would say, the formation, which is exactly what he did at BC. BC did a nice job of that with him last year, really moving him all around the place and making it difficult for the defensive line or the offensive line, excuse me, to like double team him or really find him. They kind of had to find him every single play, which I think is a cool thing. And he said that he thinks that the versatility is kind of one of his calling cards and something that he can really use at the next level to his advantage. And I asked him like where teams kind of had him playing. You know, a lot of these times in these meetings, they'll say, okay, we think you're a DN, we think you're a D tackle, whatever. And he said that they actually think that I'm just like an amoeba guy. And when he said that, I was like, okay, well, that sounds a lot like something the Patriots might be interested in. And, you know, is a guy that they can kind of just put anywhere. And he said that he thought it was kind of weird that none of the coaches or none of the teams that he spoke to at the combine were giving him a position. They were all just kind of saying, you're just going to play. Like, we're just going to stick you somewhere and we're going to have you play, which I think is really cool. He's got great hands, really heavy hands. He's got that high motor, like you said, and he's got like a really great instant play diagnosis. Like, he can really read plays really quickly and read sets from offensive linemen really quickly too. But in the running game, especially, you notice that like he can sniff out the blocking scheme like almost instantly. Like, he sees a guard pull and he knows exactly where the ball is going, for instance. Yeah. And I think that that's really great as well. And yeah, I would love to see him here. He's getting a lot of like late top 50 buzz now that we're getting closer to the draft. I think a lot of people are starting to realize that he's like more closer to like a first round pick than a third round pick. So I think that he's kind of pushing up a lot of boards in the media, at least here in the late kind of process as we get into April. So I think it'd be really interesting to see where he goes. If he goes first round, I don't think anybody would be that surprised anymore after all the stuff that has kind of come out about him. All right, last guy here. I think, last one. Two more. Second to last guy. Another kind of just ultra high motor. I hate labeling him like that, but an ultra high low motor guy, Chase Winovich, whatever you say it, from Michigan. This guy is mean. That's what I like to describe him as. He's just a mean player. Like, he wants to, every single snap, he takes it personally. It's like a little personal battle between him and whoever's blocking him.
Yeah, we were talking about how it wasn't crazy about Cleveland Farrell's Notre Dame tape. This guy's Notre Dame tape is unreal. Ridiculous, man. Yeah. He's in the backfield every play. And talk about getting low. I mean, this guy's lower than everybody. I mean, obviously, he's not a big guy to begin with. But he uses it so well. He uses his leverage in an outstanding way. I love his hands. Like, he'll just grab onto you and rip you down. Yeah. Bigger guys. Another guy who's a full field pursuit guy who doesn't give up on the play just because it's going away from him. Good pass rusher. From the outside, and he also gets in when he's asked to be a little bit more on the interior. On the smaller side, I guess, which is why. Teams are sort of he'll drop a little bit, but again, from a production standpoint, from like you said, like a pure tenacity standpoint, this guy really just gets after it, and he'll have a productive NFL career for sure.
Yeah, so I think that all of the kind of doubts that people had about Chase all went out the door at the combine, because he just had such a great workout that all like the kind of concerns that people had about his tape are like kind of all made out to be a little bit a whole lot of nothing, I guess is a way of putting it. He ran a 4.59, and then he ran a 6.94 and a 4.11 in the three cone and the short shuttle. Both, all three of those are above the 90 percentile threshold. So he's a very athletic guy. Now, he's not the biggest of guys, so at 256, you better be pretty athletic to make it in the NFL. But I think a lot of people are kind of just like, oh, he's like a try-hard white guy. No, he's a really good athlete, and he really can really get after it on every play. Like you said, he's got that great first step, great short area quickness, quick feet, good closing speed, and I love his hand usage too. Like you said, great punting power, great hand usage to kind of do different things with his hands. I mean, I really think that this player is really one of the safer bets in this draft to just like be a guy that is going to just find a way to contribute, because he just works his ass off so much to do it. And he was on a defense last year with guys like Rashawn Gary, for example, who were way more heralded than he ever was, right? Like he's like five-star recruits that everybody's been talking about for years. And I thought that his tape last year might have been better than Rashawn Gary's.
I think it was, period. Yeah.
And to do that, I mean, you kind of just are watching Michigan and you're watching Rashawn Gary and some of the other prospects that they have on that defense. And you're like, okay, he's better than all of these guys. And then, you know, you like see these mock drafts and stuff like that. And like Chase can't sniff a top 50. And then you see Rashawn Gary like is like way up high on boards. And I'm just like, yeah, like Rashawn Gary has those moments where he's like shot out of a cannon and he's just extremely freakish, right? You know, and you see that athleticism and stuff like that. But for, on a down to down basis, I mean, Chase Vinovich was way better than him. And way more consistent. So I really like him. I think he's like one of, for some reason, I can't get the Steelers out of my head for him though.
Yeah.
Like I think he's like a perfect Steeler. So I would be really surprised if they like don't find a way to draft him. But at the same time, I think that like he's also, you know, a type of guy that the Patriots would really love. Whenever you have a guy that has his kind of physical abilities and some of the technique stuff that he can do, and then just to hear like what kind of, he wasn't even like a vocal leader necessarily for Michigan, but like everybody was just, his effort was just contagious for a lot of those guys. And those are the types of guys that I think that a lot of good organizations kind of pay attention to and kind of like gravitate towards, are guys that have other guys gravitate towards them. And when we talked to him at the combine, he was like out there with like a bunch of other really big name prospects, like Nick Bosa was talking at the same time, for example. And there was a whole lot of media around Chase Vinovich. And like you're kind of looking around and you're like, all right, well, there's like, you know, Nick Bosa. I think, you know, there's, you know, other guys that are, you know, top 10 picks like Brian Burns and Josh Allen. And like everybody wanted to talk to Chase. And that I think it says a lot about the type of player that he is. And he's way more than just like a high motor dude. Like he gets labeled a lot of the time. So I will obviously, as you can tell, stand on the table for that guy.
One other thing too, and this has been talked about a lot with him, Hall of Fame hair. I mean he looks like an 80s hair metal band guy. It's amazing.
And like it's like kind of like low-key intimidating. It's kind of like Thor, like when you see that those long locks and like you're just like, all right, like this guy's gonna fuck shit up, like I don't want to mess with this dude. And he plays like it. He plays like his pants are on fire most of the time, which is really it's really great to watch. But like, yeah, like I said, you know, you watch a lot of those Michigan games, and they're playing like Ohio State and Penn State and all these teams that have like NFL talent all over the field, right? And like you're like, all right, like here's like this 5-star recruit, here's, you know, Rashawn Gary, here's Miles Sanders, here's this guy, here's that guy, and it's like Chase Vinovich is just like outplaying all of them.
Oh, he's incredible.
Yeah. So I really hope that the NFL realizes that. I think he's a second round, maybe probably a third round grade guy, but I have a second round grade on him right now, and I think that that's kind of where he belongs.
Yeah.
All right, last guy here, now really truly last guy, a Bama kid. We haven't talked to any Bama guys yet, which is, I think, pretty hard to believe. I don't know if we talked about Irv Smith. So we talked about one Bama guy, but that is Christian Miller from Alabama, like I just said. He is a long athletic dude, but definitely on the smaller side. I said last night that he kind of is in like a little bit of the Derek Rivers mold to me.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of hard to evaluate his film too, because it didn't seem like Alabama was asking a lot of him.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of their
– like, oh, we have an NFL defense, so just
– Right, yeah. Right, exactly. It seemed like there's – like they were able to generate their pass rush through so many other guys that they didn't necessarily need him to. Like there would be times where – he'd be lining up as like an outside linebacker and just sort of sitting there waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's necessarily his fault, because when you watch him actually move, he is very like athletic. Like he can move pretty well. He's a smaller, he seems like a smaller guy.
Yeah.
But when he builds up a head of steam, he gets pretty fast. So I don't really necessarily know what you get out of the guy other than like here's somebody who you can turn into something. It's just hard to really know what he is based on how he was used. Like they just didn't ask him to do so much. They just sort of, you know, he's just easy to overlook, I guess. But athletically, I like what you get from him.
Yeah, I think that he did get kind of lost a little bit in that Bama defense last year, which is never really something that you want to say about a prospect that you're talking right. about, like using a top 100 pick on. But at the same time, you know, when you have guys like Quinnen Williams and you have guys like Deontay Thompson in the secondary and you have all of these studs, like it's easy to get lost, right? Like it's
right.
easy to kind of get overlooked a little bit. I think one thing that, you know, other than like his build where he's just got arms down to his knees, his arms are incredibly long. He's athletic. He's got all that going for him. He has some really nice nuanced hand usage. Like he can stab and swipe and do all this other kind of stuff and extend his arms in the run game. And he also has that kind of dual capability, or really a triple threat, I would call him. He can rush the passer, he can play run, and he can also drop into coverage a little bit. So you have all those three things going for him. The thing that I think that really stood out from him, you know, isn't necessarily like one trait or anything like that. It's just like a lot of the guys in that Bama defense, it's not 100% apples to apples, but the scheme is very similar to what the Patriots do. So when you watch it and you see kind of like the way that they use their stand-up edge guys like a Christian Miller, you can kind of see it projecting into like kind of that edge role that the Patriots might use with some of their linebackers, like a Kyle Van Noy or even like a Dante Hightower, where they're playing mostly on the edge most of the time, but they play a little bit inside and they're dropping or rushing or they're using them on games. Like he has that kind of ability to him, I think. So I think the Patriots would view him as a linebacker, honestly. Like he's like an edge guy, but he's 247 pounds, which is very small for a defensive lineman, but it's big for a linebacker. So I could see them kind of looking at him and saying like he's like more like a Kyle Van Noy than he is like a true
yeah.
the ground type guy.
Yeah, and it's funny too. There's so many times in when you watch him when he's off the ball, and you know he's basically just like an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
And the ball never even comes close to him because the front is so good.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
that just sort of goes to my point why it's like, all right, well, what would happen if the running back made it past the first level? It just almost never happens against them, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I do like his potential, like from an athletic standpoint, like you mentioned his arms too. That's a good point. Like he's got the look of a guy who can be really good. I just don't know really how good he is yet.
Yeah, I think that's a good way. I think him and Mac Wilson, the other Bama linebacker who we'll probably talk about at some point, look really good, but aren't necessarily that good yet. And I think that's true for a lot of those Bama guys that are kind of like in that second tier of Bama prospects below, like the guys like Quinnen Williams. So I think that, you know, that's very true. One more Bama guy I just want to mention. I know I didn't tell you this one, so I'm kind of sneaking it up on you. But Isaiah Bugs from Bama is another guy that I think is just like a little bit smaller, but he is extremely compact and just like extremely like thunderous against the run. Like this guy like takes on blockers and just will hit people hard. He reminds me like in that sense, and I don't think he plays linebacker. I think he's going to play D line, but he is like, you know, he's going to hit you like a Dante Hightower would hit somebody, you know, like that's the kind of guy that he is, very powerful in his pads. Like I said, a lot of these Bama guys just like, they look for a lot of the same things in their players, their defensive players, especially that the Patriots look for. So even though the Patriots not, you know, since Cyrus Jones haven't necessarily drafted like a ton of Bama guys in over the last, you know, two decades, it's still interesting to look at and to think about. And I think that, you know, a lot of the same things that, you know, like, for example, I know that Nick Saban and Bill Belichick are both huge fans of cover one rat, the cover one coverage that the Patriots play most of their snaps. And Saban and Belichick were ironically both used cover two in some of the biggest games of the years last year, or split safety look, and they both hate that coverage, which I think is pretty funny. Obviously, the Patriots use a lot of split safety in the Super Bowl, and Bama used a lot of split safety against Oklahoma, against Kyler Murray, to limit some of those big shot plays. So I think that it's, you know, a lot of very similar schemes. All right, that was a jam-packed show. We just hit a lot of guys into one show. I think what, like 11 dudes, which is more than usual, but we gotta do it because we're less than a month away now. You know, we're getting into the last, you know, couple of home stretches here. I know I'm finalizing a lot of my grades. I've done pretty much every big name guy that there is, and I'm got like 20 or 30 guys I want to study here this last month that are more just like sleeper, like, you know, seventh round sleeper type guys. I will say one thing though, I was thinking about this last night when I was watching the cornerbacks prospects. I have not found one guy in the cornerbacks or defensive backs that I like more than Keon Cross in last year. So so I think that's interesting. Just, you know, off topic, that you know, that cornerback group, I watch a lot of the corners. I like a lot of them, but it kind of just like, I don't know what happened with Keon last year other than his size, and maybe like that he was from a small school, but you know, I like to find those sleepers this time of year. So that's kind of what I'm doing. Do you want to tease anything or have anything coming down?
Yeah, I got a lot of, like I was telling you before, spring coverage from BC and UMass. I've been at BC a couple times. You know, they look pretty strong, and I was at UMass, yesterday, and going back tomorrow. I think they might be scrimmaging, I'm not sure, but there's some interesting guys, especially new guys, at some of these places that we're going to be keeping an eye on over their careers, and we'll be looking at that a lot.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'm doing a draft series right now, Patriots draft fits, going position by position, giving you like five or six guys, kind of like what we do here on the podcast, getting a little bit more into obviously visuals that I can show you in a written post versus just talking about it on the podcast. But talking about the podcast, next week, I think we should stay in the trenches and talk about some of the offensive linemen, because I think that tackle and obviously the Patriots' interest in Chris Lindstrom, guard from BC, is something I think that they're thinking a little bit more about than maybe we are. Or maybe we are thinking enough about it, but some other people might not be. I think that they're going to take an offensive lineman pretty early in this draft. It kind of just feels that way, you know?
Yeah.
That the more that they kind of are talking about the guys they're looking at and stuff like that, we're all talking about the skill players, the wide receivers, the tight ends, and the flash, you know, like the flashy guys. If Bill Belichick went D-line, O-line with his first two picks, like, I don't think anybody should be surprised. It's a very, like, Belichick kind of draft. So we'll see what happens. But we'll try to stay in the trenches again next week, talk about some of these tackle prospects. And, like I said, we're getting down to the last couple of weeks here before the draft. So it's exciting times. A lot of people kind of, you know, starting to trickle out top 30 visits. And, you know, mock drafts, I think, now start to get a little bit more accurate as possible, you know, where you start to think about it. And also Josh Rosen. So I think that we should probably start thinking about that as well. It sounds like everybody that has information is basically writing in with Sharpie that Kyler Murray is going to be the number one pick to the Cardinals.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool. I think that adds a whole lot of excitement to the draft. And also, you know, when you have a quarterback that goes number one to a team that just picked the quarterback, obviously you have that trade excitement, but then like the draft really kind of starts at number two. Yeah. You know, and then you really have like, who is it going to be? Quinton Williams? Is it going to be Nick Bosa? And then it kind of all falls into place from there. So this is the exciting time of year. You know, both of us really like draft stuff, and we're going to really start to hit it, hit the ground running as we have been over the last couple of weeks with more draft stuff. And also one last ode to Gronk. It was a great career for Rob Gronkowski. The Patriots are going to miss him. Are you sold that he's done?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You're a little bit more level-headed than me on most of these things. You know, I still have a little bit of fan in me that wants to see him play. So, I don't know. I think like what come training camp, like if he comes out for a day of training camp and he's like standing on the sideline, like just shooting it with the coaches and Brady, and like you don't think that he's just like, I kind of miss it, like you know. And
yeah.
Thinks about it. If I was him and I really wanted to be retired, I would not come to any practices. No. Because I think that that's like the easy way to kind of get yourself lured back into it, right? But all right. Anyways, that's a solid hour for you guys. We will be back next week, like I said, with offensive linemen. But until then, signing off for Adam Perkin, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks for listening.